Well, it's a match made in heaven. Now, their love story has been seen around the world.
I, Beecher, take you, April.
I, April, take you, Beecher.
I vow to love and honor you.
Promise to remain by your side.
I do.
I do.
This is the story of how a seemingly perfect Christian couple went against evangelical culture to embrace their authentic selves and found a healthier marriage in the process.
This is the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Q&A episode of the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. This is April.
And my name's Beecher.
I cannot believe we finally made it through our entire journey up until this point, and now we get to sit back, relax, and just answer some questions.
I know, it's kind of nice. So, y'all have been sending in questions over the course of these past several months, and we're really surprised at how many we got. We got so many that we will not be able to get through all of them. And we have had questions along the same similar lines, and we've kind of combined those, but this should be a fun episode that fills in some gaps on things that we may have not mentioned in our story.
Well, before we get to these questions, we just want to thank everybody for just really all the support and encouragement. We've had very little negative feedback on this. It's been so positive, and we've heard from way more couples than we thought
that, and individuals
that are on similar paths or have similar stories as us. And there's just something really affirming and soul-giving when you find other people like you and you suddenly realize how not alone you were and are after sometimes a lifetime of feeling like you were just different and alone and that no one would understand. So Beecher and I have talked about it. We've talked about it since we've started this podcast and started hearing messages from people of like, okay, how can we continue this conversation and not just do a podcast, but really build a community outside of Spotify or Apple Podcasts?
Because what April and I were seeing is we were getting these messages of individuals and couples saying, oh my gosh, I can relate to the story and I don't know anyone else. And I want to connect with more people like you and April. And we're getting multiple messages like this. And we're like, okay, what if we created a space for these people to connect? And we can also be there because y'all have heard our story. But if our podcast has connected with you, and you feel like you are on a similar journey and you would like to continue the conversation, we have created a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/nonbinarymarriage, we'll also put the link down low. We have three different tiers that you can look at. You can have bonus episodes, a chat. We're going to do a Zoom community. We're going to start a little group, and it's already started, and we already have a number of people in, and the conversations have been great. And I've been so fulfilled seeing the conversations between people with similar stories and getting mm-hmm. to watch that. And that's really how I gained confidence, was talking with other people like me. And I had the luxury of doing that, you know, the trans group in the fall. And like, I've met other people with similar stories, and that was so uplifting for me. And we're seeing that happen.
Yeah.
So that's been really, really wonderful. If you want to take a look at that, you can go down and click the link in the bio. And a lot of people are, I mean, I think we were saving this till the end, but I feel like we need to talk about it now. The number one question we've gotten from people is, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, is the podcast going to go on? And I know for sure that there are things that we could not talk about in the podcast that we want to share with those that really want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And so we will have bonus episodes for those that subscribe through Patreon. And we very well may come back around in the future and release more public episodes.
We probably wouldn't be until the fall because our lives are a little, what's the word? Just unsettled.
We just can't really say when the next episode is going to drop, but I promise that we will eventually do another episode catching people back up on kind of our story and what we're going through. But once again, check out Patreon if you want bonus episodes between now and then. And yeah, great. Now we can move on to the real questions. April, yeah. You want to start with the first one? We're going to start with some fun ones, then we'll get into some
And this one's going to feel out of left field because we have not even talked about this on the podcast. But here's the question. Me and my husband saw your Tickle Day TikTok and thought it was a wonderful idea. We were just wondering if you could explain further why it works for you guys and how it helps. Thank you. So for context, I feel like I have to explain what Tickle Day is and what this TikTok is that they're talking about. So when Beecher and I were dating, because it was before we were engaged, so as we were dating, Beecher loved to tickle me. It was like their way of flirting. And I do not like being tickled. I laugh. And so Beecher thinks I like it, but I really don't like it.
She would laugh and then get so mad at me. And I feel like, what is going on?
I don't like the feeling of not being able to control my body. And like when you're tickling me, it's tense. Anyway, I got mad at Beecher, and Beecher's like, okay, April, you got to at least just give me one day a year where I can tickle you. And you can't get mad at me, but like I just have one day of free tickles. And because they really loved to tickle me, it was a way that they showed love. And I was like, fine. I looked at my phone and it was August 23rd. So I thought I was being smart by saying, fine, on August 22nd, which was the day before, that can be the day that you can tickle me.
And I said August 22nd every year. And you said every year.
Yes. And I thought for sure, surely Beecher would forget in the next year about this silly little conversation that we had. But then we ended up getting engaged that November, and then we got married the next June. And so August 22nd, the next year, rolls around, and I left to go to my corporate job. And when I came home, Beecher was playing some kind of creepy, giggly music. I don't even know what the song was, but it was an odd sensation. And I walked in, and there was a giant banner hanging in our room, in the living room, that said, Happy Tickle Day.
It was.
And they pounced on me. And I couldn't even be mad because it was such a, I had completely forgotten about it.
And yeah. It's, and we do it every year.
Yeah.
And it's gotten more elaborate each year. And mm-hmm. with kids, it it's has been fun. So much yeah. fun.
It's been a lot of fun since we've had the kids. They get all into it. It's Tickle Day. We do it every year with our almost 6-year-old and our 3-year-old. But now we have official events every year. Mm-hmm. You want to explain of what we do?
Oh, sure. We do the counting of the ribs.
Yes. Every person in the house gets their ribs counted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a number of things. It's a lot of fun. It's a mess.
Last year, you even added the Tickle Day cake, where we had cake that said Happy Tickle Day.
It's true. Yep. No, it's a big event in our house. So August 22nd, yeah. Look for a TikTok. We always will put it out.
And I will say the reason it helps is, one, Beecher does love it. I don't like it, but knowing that it's kind of a game, and it's free, it's a free-for-all. Anyone can tickle anyone on this day.
It's not
day.
Just April.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of, like, spy feel to it, where you want to catch someone at the last minute. I mean, there's a lot of downtime, too. It's not, like, constant tickling, but it kind of...
It's the purge, guys.
It's kind of like the purge, but for tickles.
I really want to tickle April, and knowing I have one day a year coming up where I get free reign for 24 hours, it helps me to restrain. So, all right, next question.
Yes.
How tall are we, and do we share clothes?
Yeah, so I am 6 feet tall.
And I am 6'1".
And so yes, we basically can share clothes, which I think you mentioned.
Yeah, we have same waist size, but do we share clothes?
Definitely more so early on. Beecher has now been able to get some of their own clothes, but I will say the biggest perk of like Christmas and birthdays now is all we have similar styles that we like, slightly different, but a lot of it is crossed over, because we both like a little bit more of like masculine, feminine clothes, if that makes sense, like blazers and cool stuff like that. So like for Christmas or for Beecher's birthday, I'll buy clothes that I know I also like, that I also know Beecher would like. And like this last year, I bought this open shoulder top that was technically like slightly too small for you because I didn't know which size to get you. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll just take that.
Yeah.
And so now I wear it.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say I have slight, we are similar sizes, but I definitely have broader shoulders, and so it's been nice. I went shopping literally last week out in my conservative town in a dress and bought some clothes that really fit me, and that was nice. Because April stuff technically fits me, but now I'm finally building up my own wardrobe, and it's really, really wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm still learning, too, like what Beecher's sizes are, too, because it's hard as a 6-foot woman. It can be hard to find female clothes sometimes that fit.
For the next question, this question I get more than any other on my TikTok. And it is, how does it work with your kids and do they call you dad? And it's wild. That's like the number one question that I get. And I want to preface my answer that this is a personal answer that works for me. If you have a spouse who is trans or you know someone's trans, please don't use what I'm saying against them or to try to convince them to what feels comfortable. Because ultimately, it comes down to what someone finds comfortable with their kids calling them. But for me, I really enjoy when they call me dad and daddy. And the reason being is that I do not feel like they are putting any gender stereotypes on me when they use that word. It is simply what they've always known me as. And I find it cute, and I think they just see it as me, and I'm good with that. Also, the reality is once again, this is just how I see it and how why it's not just work for me. But my role when we brought the girls home, you know, I didn't birth them. I didn't nurse them. I was more of the support early on, and I had more of the dad, quote unquote, role. And, you know, I'm okay. I've accepted that. I'm good with that. And so for me, daddy's what they call me. Do they have questions ongoing? And yes, literally 2 nights ago, I was tucking my oldest in bed and she's like, daddy, lay down with me. I want to talk to you. So I laid down and she goes, how is non-binary real? And then we talked about it and I showed her some different non-binary people again. And she goes, okay, thank you. And we said goodnight and moved on. We've made it a house where anytime they want to talk about it and they ask any questions, judgment free, I don't get mad, I don't get upset, I don't get hurt, we talk about it. And so that's the house that we want to have, and especially as they grow up. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not perfect, yeah. But that's our goal.
It is hard in society too, because especially at their age, there's some basic lessons that are like, girls do this and boys do this. Girls like dolls and boys like trucks and all of these things. And one thing that we have always tried, even before they knew about Beecher being non-binary, is that there's no boy things, there's no girl things. Like, you can just like whatever you want to like. And even still, sometimes, especially our youngest, she'll be like, no, you can't like that. That's a girl thing. And we're like, no, it's fine. Like, you can like whatever you want. And then we explain it. And then, you know, she's 3, so she's still figuring stuff out.
It is funny because we do not push gender norms at all on them, yet they both love the sparkly, rainbow, pink, everything all the time. And I'm like, what about Spider-Man? What about monster trucks? And nope, I want LOL doll. I mean, that's they are. And so, you know, we're along for the ride.
They're all about the princesses.
And I'll say at the end of every conversation that I have with my kids, I look at them and say, I know it's probably confusing. I know it's a lot, but I want you to leave with this. Always be yourself. Do not change who you are to fit what other people want.
Right.
Be who you are. Be yourself. Celebrate that and celebrate others being themselves. And if you can get that, then all the other stuff doesn't matter as much. And Raylan really seems, that's our oldest, she really seems to get that. And it's been good.
Okay, so the next question, how have your relatives reacted? I'm assuming to Beecher coming out.
Yeah. So this is one of those questions that I really think we will hit on in a bonus episode. So if you want to hear details for this, you can check out the Patreon and subscribe. The reason being is that family, like, I've had friends that cut me off and friends that I no longer have a relationship with, and that's fine. I don't have to see those friends at family reunions. Right. I would even be okay to talk about those friendships on this podcast. But the reality is family, and they're going to be around for the rest of my life, hopefully. And I do not feel at liberty to discuss the complicated relationships that are going on. I will say very, very briefly that there have been family more kind of my age that are wonderful and affirming and accepting, my age and younger. And then there's been older family that has had a hard time with it. And basically most of my relatives like to throw out a reason for me being non-binary and not really having a conversation with me. The funniest, and which once again, I'm not going to say who said it, but someone, a relative in my family, not immediate family, said that they figured out why I was non-binary, and it was because they saw me watching The Walking Dead one time and that demons came out of the TV and infected me. That one wins the trophy for most ridiculous. Some friends of ours heard that and they go, oh, you know what it was? You were watching and you saw the zombies and you saw, man, that's really good zombie makeup. Maybe I'll start playing with makeup. And then I was just hooked.
The zombie to women's makeup pipeline.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they were, and this relative was like, yeah, because Beecher was into those type of shows.
And the way they really believe this, too. It's like, I'm so confident, so confidently wrong. It's fun. But also, like, and we've also had extended family on both sides that tried to convince younger relatives that were our age to not let their kids hang out with our kids because our kids would be bad influences now, or they didn't want their grandkids around Beecher for.
Yeah. Once again, I don't. Yeah. And we've been blocked on Facebook by some relatives, and for the relationships that really, really matter to me, I have not been cut off, and we're working through it. And I will go, like I said, we'll go into more detail on that, but we just can't do this publicly because we're working through a lot still.
Yeah.
So a question that we got is from someone that follows me on, I guess, my Instagram or my Facebook. And they saw some photos of me where I was presenting more masculine. I mean, I was wearing pants or like a shirt, and it may have been a woman's shirt, but it still looks more kind of androgynous. And the question is, based on how interested you were in women's clothes through the narratives of the podcast, I keep expecting you to dress very feminine in family photos. How do you navigate what to wear for those? And it's really hard because, you know, when I came out as non-binary, I felt this pressure to suddenly fit into a new box. So even the idea of, like, I keep expecting to see you always dressed in feminine in family photos, that feels like oddly like pressure for me to, like, you know, suddenly, oh, if I'm taking a photo, I have to be femme enough. And that kind of defeats the purpose of me being non-binary. I will say that in family functions, which goes back to relatives a little bit, I am working through with April and my therapist of how to be myself and how to not give in to opinions and demands of others, but it's hard. And the reality is at this point in the larger family functions, I have probably pulled back a little bit on how feminine I'm presenting. And it's really one of those things that I'm building up courage and I'm drawing more lines, and I will be more brave in the future, and I'm working on it. But yeah, that's why some photos that people see are of me more masculine. But also, for the record, there are days, even around the house, that I still present very masculine.
Yeah.
And that's still a part of me. And I may grow a beard out one day. Like, I don't know, but, like, I'm not transitioning. I'm not a trans woman. And so I just want to be myself. And so I think for me, it's still hard to not, when I choose what to wear in the morning, not to base it on other people's expectations, whether that's family, whether that's people that are going to see photos online and think, why is Beecher not femme enough? And it's still something that I'm working through and I talk a lot about with April. And I mean, going places that where I know family's going to be, or friends or pictures, I do have some stress still of, like, okay, what should I wear?
I can tell too, like, leading up to these family events, and it's only happened a few times since Beecher's come out, but Beecher would be so anxious just thinking about going, because it in a sense, it's like going back into the closet. Even though people would know, you just didn't feel safe, and like navigating those emotions and feelings is still very real and very raw.
Yeah, it's a process, and it's something that we're working through. And I had two job interviews over the past few months, and I was very nervous about going there too. Like, what is it like to be a professional non-binary person? And they know I'm non-binary, so do I need to dress a certain level of feminine? And literally, like, several days before the interview, my stress level got high enough that I literally picked out my entire outfit, ran it by April, put it on, like, showed her, talked about it, and then I felt more peace because I was like, okay. You know, there was a wedding we went to the other day, and weddings are very, very gendered, right? Mm-hmm. Spaces, like, it's
suits,
like
dresses,
suits and really nice dresses. And when I get dressed up, I feel much more comfortable, or at least a desire to wear a really nice dress, because if I'm going to dress up, I want to present the best version of myself. And that often feels like a little bit more feminine, but this wedding was with a lot of conservative people at a very conservative church, and it was tough. And so literally I was super stressed trying to back out of the wedding. I was like, April, you just take the kids and go, or you just go, I'll watch the kids.
Yeah.
And literally had to, like, go through my entire closet to find something that I felt comfortable in, that I felt like is a good representation of me, but also wouldn't have people, like, throwing tomatoes at me, you know, at the wedding. And so
I think it's something that we're both still navigating, and me more in a support system, but also take into account, like, we don't want on the flip side to have the pressure coming from the other side, because we're just now finding this freedom. So Beecher wants to dress how Beecher wants without the outside pressure. But we're still being in a conservative area, still being around conservative family, are taking a little bit of safety I guess, into precaution to a degree. Or just like, maybe safety is not even the right word, but just not wanting to be the drama. Even though Beecher being themselves isn't dramatic for other people, like, for whatever reason, they think, I don't know if they think a demon's going to pop out of a pocket in your dress.
I was reading a post by Alok V. Manon, and I've talked about them before. They are a non-binary person. They are assigned male at birth, but present very femininely. And they were just saying that when they wear a dress out in public, others see it as an attack on them. And it's something that they are doing to other people. And I guess that's the sad world we live in. Like, if I wore a dress to that wedding, it could have been taken as an attack, even though I'm not doing it as an attack. I'm just being. But trans people oftentimes don't get the ability to just be. And so I would recommend you go check out Alok V. Manon on Instagram. They said it so much better than I just did. But yeah, that's the struggle that we deal with. And when do we want to, when are we willing to have a lot of attention drawn to us?
It's just something that we're
navigating.
Yeah.
And it's a one event at a time thing, because I do think for a special events, oftentimes you ask, what am I supposed to wear?
Yeah.
But I've spent most of my life asking, what am I supposed to wear? And that's how I dress for school, and that's how I dress for Frisbee, and that's how I dress for basketball, and that's how I dress for the mm-hmm. movies. Is what am I supposed to wear? Because I've been labeled a boy, and this is what I'm supposed to wear. And so now I try not to ask that question, but when you do big, fancy events, you ask it, and then it's a little dysphoric. But we're working through it. And you kind of hit on this, but the next question is, have you had any nasty responses from the public? Because we do live in a very small conservative mm-hmm. town. Do you get dirty looks, and how do you center and ground yourself afterwards? Do you feel the need to arm yourself? That goes back to the safety thing. Mm-hmm. So early on, I was very afraid to go out in public, and because I was really worried of responses and nasty faces. And my therapist told me something really, really great one day. And this was early on when I was still very much in the closet. And she said, Beecher, what would you do if you saw someone wearing a dress that was assigned male at birth and presenting more feminine? And I'm like, well, I would look at them, because I would think like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, you're giving me cover if I have the courage to do this one day. Like, by you wearing this. And so I thought all of this, like, these wonderful things, but she's like, but how, and then she asked me, like, well, how would that come off though to that person seeing you? And I was like, well, I don't know if I'd have the courage to say anything. So they're just going to see me looking and reacting. And so she said that I shouldn't focus on people's faces and try to read into the thoughts that they're having, because I can never know what they're thinking. But me going out in public is giving cover for those that are in the closet. And so now when I go out, like, I went out shopping, I mentioned this earlier, went out shopping last week in a dress in my small conservative downtown for the first time. I made a TikTok about it. It was amazing. It was so much fun. I smiled for 4 hours straight, went out with a really good friend, and, I didn't see any faces that gave me dirty looks. Now, I will say that when I go out in a more feminine appearance, I don't look at faces. I purposely don't make eye contact with people. Yeah. So I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. I will say this though. I've been out, I don't know, a bunch, in slightly feminine and several times very feminine attire. And I've only ever had positive things said to me.
Yeah.
And I know that record will one day come to an end, but it's mostly women. Oh my gosh, I love your nail polish. Oh my gosh, I love your hair. That skirt is darling.
It's almost like people that are supportive, or at least not jerks, will see people like Beecher, and I think they want to say something nice to, because they know you're probably uncomfortable, especially in your surrounding.
And that's the thing. I'm not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm so happy, and I'm confident, and I feel great. And so then you just add in the people saying these positive things, and it makes going to Home Depot so much fun. It makes going to the grocery store a blast. Like, yeah. I have so much fun in life when I present myself. I will say,
we went out to lunch after church on Sunday. As a sidebar, we found this local affirming church that we've been trying out. So anyway, we went to Chipotle afterwards. So it was around 12:30. So it was right around the church lunch crowd. And Beecher was wearing a kind of a bright orange open shoulder
like obviously feminine shirt. And we definitely were getting dirty looks from some church people. And but I'm a little more confrontational than Beecher. So I look at people's faces as almost like a, yeah, well, what are you going to do about it type thing. But it also like it does feel a little uncomfortable. But I'm sure a big piece of it is we just confuse people because our girls were wearing dresses and we were dressed nice. So we looked like we had just left church. But they're very confused by what are people who look like us doing at a church. So, I don't, yeah, it bothers me more than Beecher, but I also am looking for it as well.
So. I didn't pick up on it because I purposely am tuning those people out. Right. And so, and I will say, as far as safety, I don't go out at night. I don't go out alone. I go out with friends or with April or in the middle of the day in a very public place. And so yeah. I am not too worried about safety.
And I am working with my therapist because I think I am actually, I'm a little scared to go out with Beecher when with Beecher wearing a dress just because, I mean, we've literally got death threats around here too. So, but the more positive interactions that Beecher has, like, I know, I'm sure that that the day will come, but it's still a process.
So somebody asked, living in the conservative world, being your authentic selves, have you ever thought of moving to a bigger city or a more accepting place?
Oh my gosh, every day.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely think about it. And it's really one of those things of this is my home. This is where I basically spent the vast majority of my life in this area of the country. And I have a really strong desire to change it. And LA is appealing, New York's appealing, a bigger city's appealing. But there's also a piece of me that wants to stay and be an example of someone living authentically. I mean, I literally went downtown in our little conservative town in a dress, and I could have gone to Chattanooga, which is a bigger city down the road. And I was like, no, like I want to go where I can make a difference. And so, but is this tension of like, we'd be safer, we'd be more accepted. Do we
make that move? We definitely are concerned about. One thing that's, this isn't a question, but like our kids are starting, like our oldest is in kindergarten and our youngest is starting pre-K, but like they're going to be starting having friends. And I think one of my biggest fears now, even though I try not to act on fear, is just wanting them to have friends their age that are affirming and that their parents are affirming. Cause I would just hate for them to, you know, have to lose out on friendships because their parents were too conservative.
I know. So we're willing to move. We thought we actually were going to be moving about a month ago. We were pretty like, wow, yeah, we're moving. And so, but the job opportunity fell through. And so we're here for at least another year and we'll see. We're open to moving, but that's not one of our goals.
Yeah.
Someone asked for us to give a PG-13 version of how sex life is now that we've accepted my gender identity. I don't know how to give it in a PG-13 way. Vague answer is just that we allow each other to be ourselves in sex and we allow honest opinions of like, hey, I'm just not in the mood. Hey, I'm just not really feeling that. And we don't let it spiral us out of control. And we're very clear about what we want. I'm like, I would like emotional connection. And April's like, I would like an orgasm.
One huge difference in sex now is I actually want it like more than not, where before it was mostly Beecher initiating and me kind of putting up with it. But I, as you know, as you've heard me tell the story, I have experienced an O now and I can have orgasms at will. And so it's more enjoyable. And I feel like I can connect with Beecher on a deeper level because I see Beecher for who they are. And that doesn't mean, like, there's still some days where, like, just a couple weeks ago, Beecher was really feminine that day. And, like, me being bi, which I think is going to this next question, like, I can be attracted to the female and the masculine. But that day, I just wasn't attracted to the feminine side of Beecher, and they were very feminine that day, and Beecher was in the mood, and I just said, I honestly am just not that attracted. But that's like normal, because there's days even before Beecher had come out, we're on masculine days where I wasn't attracted, and like literally there's days where my hair's in a bun all day and I stink and I've got spit up on me, and there's no way that I am attracted. Like, attraction is also a fluid thing.
I think we're on this podcast been very open and honest about things, and I am far from perfect. And April is also not perfect.
No, we're not.
And I think one of the things, as we listen back through some episodes, we make it sound like it's now like we're 30, I'm 32 and April's 34. And now it's happily ever after. And we want to be clear that we're still working through stuff.
Yeah.
There are still times that after I go out, after I went out in public and address, you had a hard time for a few days with the feminine. You got afraid. We had a big conversation. Like it's.
Well, I think once the job opportunity recently fell through and then realizing the reason that we were in this position in the first place, like losing the security from the conservative school that we were at, like knowing that it's because of Beecher's identity, like even though I know that it's not Beecher's fault, like Beecher just being who they were, I had a hard time a few days, like just like resent, I don't know, I was just angry. And I was really struggling because one, I was mad at that Christian organization that could no longer employ us because of Beecher, who is wonderful and beautiful. But then it's hard to separate what you know from your feelings. And I was just feeling just a kind of annoyed with Beecher that we were put in this situation.
And we finally got to the root of it and had this conversation two nights ago. But before that, you know, we were going somewhere and April's like, you're wearing your hair down a lot. I really like it up. Are you going to keep wearing dangly earrings so much? And you're looking really masculine.
I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect.
Right. And I struggle. But I want to say that on this podcast because I do not want either of us to feel pressure going away from this podcast that we have to have everything figured out and we're not going to be bothered by any of this anymore because that's completely not true. We still have a lot of life to live and we're going to figure more stuff out.
And I still, and I know this about me, I still care too much about what people think. And it's a pastor's kid thing and it's just, I don't know, being a woman in the South thing.
But we have ways of talking about it, getting to the root of it, and then literally you're going to go back and see your therapist again for a while.
One thing Beecher and I are really good at is that we don't let problems go very long between us before we try to actually have an honest conversation and get to the root of it. And once we figure out what the root is, we give each other lots of grace.
Absolutely.
And the ability to be honest without judgment and to hold space for each other.
Yeah, and I really think it's important that we say that because I just want people to understand that we are absolutely human too. And I don't know if anyone ever gets to the point where it's just easy and wonderful and great. Yeah. It is. Hopefully what this podcast shows is not that we've hit happily ever after, but we have hit so much better.
Right,
we've hit better. And that's true. Yeah. So much better. Right. And we can swear that up and down. So another question that I feel like you've answered is, does April identify as bi because of Beecher?
Of your identity.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a fair question. I do feel like I covered this when I talked about exploring my own sexuality an episode or two ago. But I do not identify as bi because Beecher is non-binary. Beecher coming out to me as non-binary was what made me go and figure out myself. I knew that more than likely, in order for me to be attracted to Beecher's feminine side, it would definitely help if I were bisexual or pansexual. But it ultimately, I realized, you know, no, I have always been attracted to women. And now I'm and men, unfortunately. I don't know that I would choose to be attracted to men. If I could, no offense, men. But also now attracted to Beecher being non-binary. So Beecher's identity as being non-binary was kind of the catalyst to make me realize that I was bi, but I am not bi because Beecher identifies as non-binary.
So, next question. They, them is a little bit awkward grammatically. If someone wants to talk about us, am I super offended if they use the word he for myself? So basically pronouns, because they, them is awkward.
They, them is awkward, but they used they in the question.
Right. I would say that you should use they, them. These are my pronouns. This is what I use. And will I get super offended? And the reality is, no, I will not get super offended. But when I hear someone use the correct pronouns, when I hear someone use they, them, I feel safe and seen. And I feel so much more relaxed. As soon as somebody uses he, and if they continue using he, him, I then have to question, do they not know my pronouns? Do I need to say something, which is awkward? Or do they know and just think I'm crazy or a liberal or whatever you want to call it.
Or are they intentionally being dismissive?
Yeah, right. Intentionally being dismissive. And if so, then I don't want to be around them. I don't want to have the conversation. Or is this an accident? And they know that I'm them. They just forgot. And so I don't get super offended. I don't get super upset. But what happens is I'm suddenly constantly reading everything they say in the conversation and I'm not fully present. And so yeah. I love when people use they, them, even if they use they, them one time and then use he, him, then I can write it off too. Well, they know and they try to use they, them and they're just getting mixed up. Yeah. And that makes a world of difference.
And there's a lot of people, especially like our extended family, most of which don't use they, them, but a lot of them are trying. So there's a lot of grace for people that at least put forth the effort. And I am doing much better at using they, them. I don't think I've messed up on this podcast, but I have messed up in other scenarios, especially when Beecher's not around and I'm talking about Beecher. And especially if I'm around people who are not using they, them for Beecher, I can slip up. But I'm getting better at quickly correcting it now, at least. I know I was on a couple podcasts as a guest back in January, and that was before Beecher came out. And so for safety reasons and like job reasons and all of the things, I used he, him for Beecher, the little bit that I talked about them, but those episodes did not release until like a few weeks ago after Beecher's been out. And a couple people messaged me and were like, that was really cringy that you didn't use, they, them. And I was like, I know, like I listened back to it and it really made me cringe hearing that, but I had to explain, like, no, Beecher knew that I was using he, him for this because it was, you know, before that they were out. We didn't know that it was going to be released so much late in the game. But Beecher also has a lot of grace for me, especially early on when I was using the pronouns. And I think because I've built trust with Beecher, like, Beecher knows I would not intentionally try to misgender them. So I think if your trust bank is full and you use he, him, it's not going to bother Beecher as much than if, like, you just have never tried, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So we're reaching the end. And one question that we have that's very open-ended and we will give a pretty open-ended answer for, but what questions are you still figuring out together? Mm-hmm. And how do you see your relationship developing now that you've come out to the world? We have plenty of conversations. we talk all the time. We ask each other questions all the time because I will say living in the binary, while it's miserable, and way worse, it is much more simple. This is good. This is bad. Dungeons and Dragons, bad. Bible, good. And you just see the world very yes, no. And if you don't know, then someone, an older white male, will tell you.
The white males know.
They know. They'll tell you exactly what you're supposed to view on it. Now we have entered this non-binary way of life, and we have many conversations. And so we had quite a few questions that were like, what's your opinion on this? What's your opinion on that? Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just the stage of life, you know, that we probably are in where we are just exploring so much. But I don't really have an interest in saying my opinion on so many topics in hopes that other people have the same opinion as me. What I hope, and really the heart of this podcast, is that as people, as you, the listener, make your opinions on all these issues, you take my story into account, that you take me into account, that you take my existence into account. That's the world that I want to see. Not where everyone agrees with me, but where I am taken into consideration. Because we're still figuring things out.
Yeah.
And we're still, but we have a relationship that is okay with questions and we enjoy questions and it doesn't spiral us and it doesn't make us afraid. And that's what I encourage as you wrestle with where to draw the line on things in your own life. Like, find someone that you can ask questions with and don't be afraid to explore.
And I think we're still figuring out some aspects of our sex life too. I know that was an earlier question, but it's so much better, but it could still improve a lot. And I still have moments where purity culture rears its head and I feel lots of shame and feel like something is wrong, even though it's not. So we're still unpacking lots of things. And I do know a lot of people have also asked, like, are we still Christians?
Yeah.
And yes, we are.
We are. We're very open, open-minded.
I'm not going to try to convert you.
More progressive.
Yeah.
Don't believe in hell Christians. And I feel like we've talked about that in this podcast.
Yeah.
But yes, we are technically still, we still use the name Christian.
Jesus.
And we just usually, once we say that we're Christian, we just have to explain quite a bit of why we're not
My friend has a t-shirt she sells, and I like to say, like, we are, we're the love your neighbor type of Christian, not the storm the Capitol type of Christian.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I want to get that shirt.
So the final question that we are going to get to is, what is next for us? We have told our story to the world. It is out there, all the embarrassing details.
Yeah.
It's wild. We will sometimes be like eating dinner and we'll go, isn't it weird that like thousands of people know that I did X, Y, and Z? And she's like, you said that on the podcast? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I said that on the podcast.
And I'm like, isn't it weird that thousands of people know that I didn't have an orgasm until I was in my 30s?
But you also put out a TikTok saying that.
Which... Okay, yeah. So actually more than a few hundred thousand.
Yeah. So what is next for us? I will say in the short term, I am a freelance writer, director. So I am taking on different commercial projects. I also do freelance editing, so I'm doing some editing. So that's how we will be paying the bills for the next year. And April's
doing. Do you have any freelance editing filmmaking work for us?
Sure.
Send it our way.
The most exciting thing, and this is the thing that I'm really eager to talk about, is that one of my screenplays is actually based around this podcast. It's actually based around our relationship, all the things we work through, but it is a romantic comedy. And it is set in kind of a modern fairy tale world where a woodcutter wants to wear a dress and the princess wants to break free of the many confines of royalty. And it's how do they make this marriage work? And it literally was obviously written from the things that April and I went through, and then was fictionalized pretty heavily in the second and third draft. But
it's pretty funny and good.
The good news is that I'm getting traction. I have an agent that is shopping it around. I am meeting with studios. And then once I get a producer on board, then soon, hopefully meeting with investors. So I hope that, you know, one day in the next year that we can say we are moving into production on a feature film that so I will say this. If you are listening to this podcast and you are a multimillionaire or connected to the film industry and you think that our story would be good out there for people to see, I have a script. All I need is some people to come alongside and make it. And of course, I'm mostly
joking. And
Beecher
is a good writer because they've had their stuff's been finalist at Nashville, and it's been through the first round of Sundance and Austin and stuff like that. So it's not like Beecher's a, you know, just an average joke.
If anyone wants to see any of my work, you can go to Beecher.media. And once again, we do not need this. This is just on the off. We had somebody email us saying, oh my gosh, this should be a movie.
Yeah.
And so, hey, you know what? I'm willing to make
another it a movie. Thing that we've talked about opening up to is possible speaking engagements with our talking about gender roles and our identities and just how we make that work in a marriage, especially coming from Christian and religious backgrounds. And I am kind of working on a book, so we'll see what happens with that. But we've got lots of things.
We've got so many exciting things going on, but very few definite things.
We've got lots of lines out in the water, and we're just waiting to see which fish are going to bite.
We'll end with this. The whole idea of this podcast was to get our story out there so others didn't feel as alone. And that has happened.
Yeah.
And we've loved it. And we want to continue doing this for the rest of our lives. And so we will continue to have conversations about how to do that. Now that the podcast is out, what does that look like next? Do we go and speak and tell our stories places? I don't know. We'd be willing to. We're going to speak at a university in the fall mm-hmm. that wants to have us tell a little bit about our story. So we're open to so many things. So if you're out there and you would like to collaborate with us, reach out, nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com. But ultimately, I just want to say thank you. If you stuck through this long, this has been such an uplifting, encouraging ride for us.
Yeah.
I have never felt more seen and not alone than I do right now in this stage of my life.
And I'm sure we'll be back hopefully sometime in the fall with an update episode. So hopefully you can stay subscribed to us wherever you listen on podcasts. We would also love for you to leave us a review on Apple, because now that our story's out there, new people can find it and listen and hopefully not feel so alone in their own journeys as well. And yeah, thank you guys. This has really been a very affirming, life-giving experience for us.
And with that, we are signing off. We will see y'all. Who knows? Keep an eye out for an episode in the future. Love you.
Love you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. We would love if you would take the time to leave us a review or a 5-star rating wherever you listen. And if you need to get a hold of us, you can email us at nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com or individually on TikTok or Instagram at April A. Joy or at Hello Beecher. Stay tuned for new episodes coming out weekly. Thanks again for listening.